Thursday. It's a day. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Happy NBA return day.
NBA return day. And is it? Do you say happy penultimate Golic and Wingo show?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You say happy for that?
Why not?
We can make it a celebration of life.
We can. This is it. Two more.
That's
shows.
Our choice.
Two more. You're right.
That's our choice how we want to do it.
Somehow,
let's celebrate.
Some way, I bet tomorrow there'll be cake.
There will be cake, and I don't even know if you can call it day drinking. I guess it'll be morning drinking.
Well, the show ends at 10, so 10:01 they'll be drinking.
I guess it's technically the day.
You think 10:01, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying that,
just, what, it's going to take you that long?
No, 10:01?
I think he means, a little earlier than that.
Hey, Irish coffee.
Listen,
Trey's junk right now.
Okay.
There we go.
Maybe I am.
We can talk about that if you want.
Add it to the list. Add it to the list.
There's NBA.
Move it on.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Apparently someone has already.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, the NBA returns today. Again, it was on March 11th. We had the hard pause. So it's just kind of weird to think about it now and go back in time. When it was shut down during that game between the Thunder and the Jazz when Rudy Gobert tested positive, did any of us think it would, at that point, wow, not till July 31st, or July 30th, rather, would we see another NBA regular season game?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, at first, I think we were all just like, we have no idea what's going to happen because nobody had a handle on the situation. It was just kind of beginning. And then we saw where it is going, and unfortunately where it continues to go, we thought, man, this is going to be the last thing we see going on in sports again. But of all the sports coming back, the NBA and that bubble has done some of the best stuff.
Nailed it.
Right? I mean, they have really, really done a great job of the negative tests. There was another round of tests, all negative again inside the bubble. So, these guys, at least from that point of it, can take that off their mind, any kind of trepidation of – just, what the future may hold. And we don't know because there'll still be testing. But right now, it is working to a T in Orlando.
And I think that's the point, is we've seen so much anxiety now on the part of Major League Baseball players.
Yes.
We've heard them talk about that because that portion of things isn't taken care of. And what the NBA has done inside this bubble environment, what the NHL is building right now inside theirs as they get ready to ramp things up this weekend, is that feeling of, all right, we have taken care of this. You, the players, have bought into this so well that we're now in a situation where we can focus on the sports side of this. Now, the NBA is also dealing with the social justice side of this, something that they are going with renewed vigor towards reminding people, we're still here to talk about this. The WNBA has had that commitment in all of this, but we are allowed and afforded the luxury of thinking and talking about those things because they've done such a good job in their respective bubbles.
Again, zero positive tests since they've come out.
And not just them. You say that the WNBA, the MLS, the NBA, hockey, the NWSL, which finished up in Utah,
yep,
all the ones that have been contained, it's almost like, we just had a bunch of tests and a bunch were negative. Where in the other sports, we're talking about the spread in baseball. We're talking about the opt-outs, the larger than I thought number of opt-outs in the NFL. And now we had our first opt-out in college football where the power conferences don't even have their schedule set yet. All the bubble sports all seem to be getting it done.
We mentioned the 15 positive tests at Rutgers that might stem back to a party there that people are worried about. Michigan State shut down again. Laura brought up Colorado State in that. So you're juggling all of those. But it did beg the question, because what we saw happen in Major League Baseball was, all right, you had a team finally have a rash of outbreak during the season and didn't necessarily have a plan for it. Adam Silver, the NBA commission, was on Good Morning America yesterday and was asked in a similar situation what the NBA's plan would be.
We do, although it's not an exact science because nobody's ever done this before. I think we have plans in place where we might pause, similar to what baseball is doing now. Probably if we had any significant spread at all, we'd immediately stop. And one thing we do is try to track those cases to determine where they're coming from and whether there had been spread on the campus. I would say, ultimately, we would cease completely if we saw that this was spreading around the campus and something more than an isolated case was happening.
But to that point, not only has nothing been spreading, they haven't had a case, which
they
is absolutely phenomenal. But they're preparing for that.
They are.
Reality
and they are
happened.
Wearing those bands for contact tracing because they have said for the Marlins, they're having trouble contact tracing where this all may have begun or maybe they don't want to say. I don't know.
Yeah, or people maybe. But that tells me like maybe people aren't being forthright.
Yeah,
that's what that sounds like to me.
Very, very possible on that. But in the NBA, it seems all buttoned up to even if they did have some that they could move pretty quickly on the contact tracing of where it got to, because A, they're in a limited space, and B, those devices may prove to be very useful there.
Correct. So, again, we've got a doubleheader tonight. We'll get into that in a minute. But, of course, the NBA restart means there are certain teams, and we've had a couple of them and done them already, the idea that it's win it all or it doesn't matter. And one of those teams for sure is the Milwaukee Bucks, best record in the NBA going in. Here's Zora Stevenson, a Bucks reporter on Fox Sports Wisconsin, on our Milwaukee Bucks NBA status update.
Golic and Wingo NBA status update. Milwaukee Bucks.
What's up, everybody? Zora Stevenson here, the Milwaukee Bucks sideline and digital reporter. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the type of guy that wins the MVP award and weeks later, in front of a packed crowd in Milwaukee, tells everyone, please don't call me the MVP, so I can be better. Well, a year later, Giannis is better. The stats show you that, and as a result, the team is better too. Best record in the NBA, 53-12 is where they left off. The success, in large part, a result of many mean mugs by the reigning MVP. Cash from the outside, provided by the likes of two-time All-Star Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe as the motor that keeps things running, and Brooke Lopez protecting things down low, second in the league in blocks. When play was suspended in March, the group was looking to bounce back from a three-game skid, the most consecutive losses of the season. And Giannis was recovering from a knee injury after coming down wrong during a matchup with the Lakers. More than 4 months later, and you must be wondering, what's changed? Well, besides everyone getting healthy, not much really. Giannis still attacks the paint. Let it fly is the motto. Defense makes everything go. And team chemistry might be their best asset. Some news to keep up with, though. Starting point guard Eric Bledsoe and reserve Pat Connaughton did arrive late to Orlando after positive COVID-19 tests. Both have cleared protocol and are working out with the team, but we'll have to wait and see if they play Friday for the Bucks' restart debut against the Boston Celtics. In closing, the Bucks have potentially another MVP. Best record in the league, most rebounds, points per game, number one in pace, the list goes and goes. Only thing left to do is win it all.
Zora, thanks very much. And we've talked a lot about this over the last couple of days, about players whose legacy will be impacted most should they win a championship in this way. I don't think there's any franchise that would be impacted more than the Bucks winning it all, because despite what you hear from Giannis and everything else, you know there is going to be significant pressure put on him potentially down the road by significantly bigger cities and bigger brands in the NBA to leave Milwaukee.
This is without question whether Milwaukee stays relevant in the NBA or they go to that kind of team you don't really talk about anymore.
I mean, Oklahoma City and the way they've maneuvered it has been the best version of maybe coming out on the other side of that, but that's kind of what they're facing.
They absolutely are. I mean, there is no franchise that needs it more than Milwaukee to stay relevant, to try and hang on to their guy. That's what's in the balance here. Will Giannis stay in Milwaukee and keep them relevant, or would he go somewhere else? So the pressure in such a horrible season, the way it's going, obviously. Yeah. Now we don't know Giannis's train of thought. We don't know what he's thinking or what he wants to do in the future, but certainly he wants to win championships. And if he feels that can be done in Milwaukee, like if they win them this year, obviously it's a better shot of him staying. But yeah, I completely agree. There is no franchise that has more pressure on them right now to stay relevant than Milwaukee.
And again, two games getting underway tonight. The Jazz and the Pelicans get it going at 6:30. And then at 9 o'clock, it is the Clippers and the Lakers. The battle for Staples Center pride. Of course, I'm curious.
Of course, no games will be in Staples Center.
Correct. I'm curious to see how much, because look, the Clippers and Lakers, they know where they're going.
Right.
They know. I'm curious to see how they attack the end of the regular season, as opposed to, say, the Pelicans, who are trying to get in the damn thing. You know
what I mean? I mean, you're going to see varying levels of motivation through all this, and that's one a concern. Now, we heard from Brian Windhorst yesterday that a team like the Lakers, even though they're secure, LeBron James has set a tone for this team where they're not going to be taking nights off on this. The energy to attack it has been there. That's what the only thing that I worry about is, if you've got teams operating at different tempos or with different motivations, that's where injury tends to occur.
Correct.
And so it's going to be everyone's ability to muster up that energy to go back out there for actual gameplay and be at a pace that guys are used to. Because when you're functioning like that, and Dad, you know this, the thing you always deal with early in the season for NFL teams, for NBA teams, is guys that aren't supposed to be there, athletes that are not going to end up making those teams, operating at a different pace than the starters and stars who go out there and now all of a sudden have the potential to get hurt because of that.
Anybody think either LeBron or Kawhi plays all eight games?
Zero.
Oh, no. God, no.
No chance.
No way, no chance, no how. Golic and Wingo reminding you the NBA is back. Tune in tonight as LeBron and the Lakers host Kawhi and the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. All right, coming up next, a quandary, a question, if you will. If you've shelled out $500 million to a player, and then a list comes out and says you paid $500 million to the fourth best player in his sport, do you shove the contract or do you shove the list?
Listen, he's going to struggle. Pat Mahomes did not play his rookie year at barely at all. There is no chance on God's green earth he comes in next year and lights it up. There's something amazing to me about the fact that you have a Chief team that can win now, that you're going to go now to a young quarterback. I'm a little surprised.
50 touchdowns and an MVP later.
All I know is the Chiefs gave $500 million to the fourth best player in the NFL.
Way to go. Tough look.
Way to go.
Well, it all depends on
how you feeling now.
Do you feel vindicated?
Huh? I mean, of course I do. I was right all along. Please don't anybody think I'm serious, okay? I mean, please.
We just wanted to give you enough room.
I mean, please.
We just wanted to give you enough room.
I mean, come on.
Listen, man, two shows left. I'm willing to suspend disbelief a little bit around this one. So if you want to be right through that one, I think we're all just going to kind of nod and smile.
I want to be right, and with two shows left, I guess I don't care if I'm wrong.
There you go.
Hey, listen. What are they going to do?
You've reached take Nirvana.
There you go.
What are they going to do? Take your scholarship?
Yeah,
When you get up to take Nirvana, Stu Gotts is just waiting there very loosely clothed. It's actually a lot like when you massage
welcome
his
in,
boots.
Son. Yeah. Welcome in, son. That's
true. A very similar outfit and setting. Boy.
All right. So for more on all of this, Golic and Wingo presented by Progressive Insurance, our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Let's bring in one of those guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, our fine football analyst, Marcus Spears. Marcus, do you want to live in a world where there's a list that says Patrick Mahomes is the fourth best player in the NFL?
No, nah, not at all. guys, first of all, good morning. Second of all, no. But I can bring sort of a caveat. The fact that he missed some games. That's the only thing I can relate this to, is the fact that Pat Mahomes missed some games. And this is by no means to take away from anything that Lamar Jackson did. He was the league MVP. We get it. We understand it. But we know damn well he's not the best quarterback or the best player in the league right now. That is Patrick Mahomes. That is actually Kansas City Royals part owner, Mahomes, who just bought a Ferrari and got a check that's going to total the sum of $500 million at some point in his football career.
Well, Marcus, I feel like 2020 finally just said I needed to check Patrick Mahomes in some way, shape, or form, right? Because if you go down the list, three straight playoff wins, he was down double digits in each one of them. He wants to win them all by double digits. Wins the Super Bowl MVP, part owner of the Kansas City Royals, because he signed a $500 million contract. I guess this list is living proof that 2020 has to hit everybody.
No doubt. Nobody's immune to what is happening in this year of our 2020. Here's the most important thing about 2020, fellas. It is going to humble you as an individual at some point, all right? I got humbled yesterday. I was pushing sleds while my son was at practice, and I thought my heart was about to explode out of my chest. And then I realized, you know what? It's coming for us all. Now, we got to figure out how to manage the damage, and we see it now with this list of the NFL 100. It is people heads are popping off because they're trying to manage the damage of seeing the best player, arguably one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen, if not the best in the first 2 year run, not be the number one player after winning Super Bowl MVP and erasing deficits that we never seen in the playoffs. So there you go. It's getting everybody.
So I'm wondering, and I can't answer this. Mike can't answer this. He was undrafted. I was a 10th rounder. We were never in anybody's top of anything. So you were a first rounder, so at least you're way more qualified to answer this. Why do guys give a damn so much? Why do they care about their Madden rating so much? Why do they see a list like this and Keenan Allen is tweeting to other receivers, you know I'm better than you? Why do they care so much?
Because, man, you guys know this, and thank you for the flattery, MG, but you being drafted 10 rounds don't have a damn thing to do with how good you were when you played. And it don't make me more qualified to speak on this. You guys know how our ego is when we play football. You know the Madden rating is very important to the players because everybody plays it and everybody sees it, especially these NFL top 100 lists, because most of the time it's the players. Now, let me say this. This list was null and void to me when Carson Wentz wasn't on it. That yep. does not mean I don't respect where a lot of these guys are and how they're judged by their peers or whoever's doing the voting. But when you have guys that is clearly, I would say, a top 25, top 30 player not even on the list, then it makes it irrelevant. Because now we're having a conversation about maybe what you like or what you enjoyed watching more. And in Lamar's case, right, it's a huge argument to say Lamar should be the number one player in the NFL top 100. And possibly from a player's perspective, you could see that because he's so tremendously hard to defend, especially with his ability to run and how good he was throwing the ball this year. So it's not far-fetched to think that Lamar could be the number one guy, but these guys care about it because everybody sees it. This is the big NFL 100 list that everybody pays attention to. We're going to talk about it. And obviously the Madden rating sticks with you forever. So you'll be able to go back and your kids will be able to look on there and be like, Dad, like my kids look on there, Dad, you are 82, you sucked. Because only they only talk about the 99 and the 90s people in their game. So, you know, I'm going to have to deal with my kids, especially my son one day, going look at my Madden rating. And I'm trying to hide it as much as possible, telling them they don't even make the version of the game anymore that I was on. But eventually he going to know I'm lying, and he going to look at that and say, Dad, you wasn't really that good. You was an 80.
My God. That's a tough house you live in, man. Where anywhere else showing your kids that I was in Madden, the video game, and I was this great player was the accomplishment. MG, you got to hide that because you're so ready to get roasted.
MG Junior, this house I live in is competitive, bro. Like, my daughter is a top volleyball player in the country. My wife got drafted before me, which she reminds me of all the time to the WNBA. And my son is 11 years old. He's about 5'9", maybe, plays baseball and can launch it. All right? So I'm really falling behind. I'm the guy that played in the NFL for 9 years. And when I say that in my household, don't nobody give a damn.
Well, just show them the paycheck that bought that house. Yeah. You'll be fine as a first-round pick. That's right? Say,
Marcus, that was always the one that worked for my dad was look up, see this roof, and know what paid for it. So you might have a good
shot. On the ceiling.
That's it. You might have a good shot with that one. Marcus Spears with us, going to be part of the new NFL Live crew rolling out later in the middle of the month of August. Certainly looking forward to that whole crew. But Marcus, as a part of that, like the NFL you guys are looking at is going to be different, and we've seen a lot of players. I'm curious, have you been surprised by the number of players we've already seen opt out of this upcoming NFL season?
I must say I've been a bit surprised, but not like to the point of being taken back, right? And obviously you see Damian Williams, running back from Kansas City, opt out. And this is what this is something that I thought could potentially happen, because if you look at most of these guys, it's not them making decisions about themselves. And, like, guys, we got to be honest, that's the scary part about this virus. It is your transmission of it to somebody that can't fight it. Obviously, Solder had cancer in his history, in his kids' history. And it's a lot of guys that's having to weigh this against the risk of not only immunity, but their immune systems and all of that being prepared to handle this while playing a professional sport with that history. So, man, it's tough. It's tough to see. And we knew, you know, I think a lot of people calculated players voicing their opinions and being real constructive of how they wanted to go about this. And certain players with history that we're watching, and just some players opting out because they don't want to, you know, deal with the whole coronavirus thing while the league is going on. You got to respect it. And it's something we talked about earlier in a few shows that I was doing. Like, you have to respect those decisions because you don't know each individual situation that these guys walk into after they leave the practice field or the practice facility. And the fact that you can't bubble them and keep them, you know, contained for, which I don't think would have happened anyway, but to keep guys in containment for that long of a season, you were running the risk of this. So, nah, not super surprising to me, because these guys are making decisions based off mostly their loved ones that will have problems if they contracted this virus.
Absolutely. You saw so many players signifying that. And again, they have until Monday to opt out. Marcus, as always, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you, sir.
My guys, thank you, man. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you all soon.
Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate it. And that's what it comes down to, people talking about their decisions of opting out. It's courageous to do, or are they courageous to play, or courageous to opt out? And this, you know what it is? It's a decision they made.
Yeah.
They made it based on the health of their family, which is exactly what should be done. No more, no less. You know what? That's what's a priority. That's what's first in your life. And if you feel the need to not play, man, more power to you. If you feel the need, you know, I'm going to try and play, more power to you. It is your decision to make. No more, no less.
Yeah, I was on the Michael Kay Show yesterday on ESPN New York 98.7. And it's interesting because football players are so conditioned to just – screw it. Find a way. Fight through it. I got to play. I got to whatever. I know it's not right for me, but I got to do it. I think it's the idea of it affecting others that is really changing this more than anything else. Because as a player, you know, can I get through it? Can I get through it? And I feel like all these guys are, for the most part, are opting out the thing. This one isn't about me. It's about what I might do to other people. All right, coming up, the best case against pushing the college football season to the spring right now. We'll get to that after this.
SportsCenter update, ACC Board of Directors voted to proceed with an 11-game football season that will include Notre Dame playing a full ACC conference slate. We'll get into that, so all you Notre Dame haters, get ready to throw your darts. Schools will play 10 conference games and one non-conference game. Notre Dame will also be eligible for the ACC championship game as well as ACC slot in the Orange Bowl. The season set to start the weekend of September 12th. Fallout in baseball, Joe Kelly humming the ball at a couple of the Astro players. Cost him 8 games. Suspended for 8 games. It led to a bench clearing. We won't say brawl. We'll say altercation, because nobody really did a whole lot with social distancing. He is going to appeal that suspension. Dave Roberts got suspended a game, and Dusty Baker got fined in that one. There was a game, though, played between the two of them last night. Los Angeles beat Houston 4-2 in 13 innings thanks to a two-run shot by Edwin Rios. Basketball is back, gang. After 140 days off, the season restarts in Orlando. Jazz and Pelicans square off 6:30 Eastern. How great is that? And then it's the doubleheader, the late game, Lakers and Clippers at 9 Eastern. Lakers-Clippers coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. Maximum pain relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist-recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't sting.
How sick are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
You sure? It's a lot to stomach for you in one morning. A lot of Notre Dame news. A lot of Notre Dame having their cake and eating it too.
As if I haven't been hammered by shamrocks guys over the last 2.5 years.
You seem to be sipping your supposed... Diet soda, a little more than normal.
I was just talking about. I'm gonna have a. You guys say something.
So the ACC has made their decision: 10-game conference games and one non-conference game. Notre Dame already played 6 ACC teams in their schedule because the rest of their sports are in the ACC, but they picked up 4 more games. So there's 10, and then they'll have one non-conference, and it will be one conference. not two divisions in the conference. 15 teams, the two best winning percentages will play in the ACC championship game. All the money there will be split evenly. Even Notre Dame's NBC money that they get for their home games will be split evenly amongst the 15 ACC teams. So that's where we're sitting with the ACC right now. We're still waiting to hear from the SEC. They have, I believe, a Zoom video conference call today and the Big 12 on Monday. But you have to believe, because we have the Pac-12 and the Big 10 already doing conference only, ACC went conference plus one. If I were to guess, I would say that the two remaining are going to lean more toward the conference plus one scenario.
Yeah, and this is what happens is as this has gone along, because we would have loved for the Power Five to come out and make a decision with all their resources right. together with something that was going to look uniform across the board. But instead, the dominoes that have happened since the Big Ten came out and then the Pac-12 followed suit was you're now losing options the further along you go without right. being the one to make the decision in a lot of this one. And the ACC saw the writing on the wall, because we'd heard some reports yesterday that kind of ended up being a smokescreen, the idea that, you know, they might hold off until next week or when the NCAA Board of Governors gets together and talk. No, they wanted to make this decision now so they would be able to do it as close to on their terms as is still available at this point, because now for the SEC, for the Big 12 that are still waiting to make decisions, they're reacting to all of this, and they're having to react to that knowing there's probably been some communication.
And speaking of terms, those terms continue to change on what may or may not be feasible when it comes to college athletics, specifically college football, because as we all know, that's the moneymaker, the driver of the bus. Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, who we've had on the show here before, was on with Freddie and Fitzsimmons and talked about the break glass in case of emergency scenario, the idea of college football being played in the spring.
I think the spring is a viable option. I don't think it's first choice. As I said earlier, I think you go to that by default. And there may be an opportunity for that. It could turn out that we can't start the football season. It could turn out that we get disrupted broadly enough that we have to shutter the season. It could be that some schools will be able to keep going and others will have to stop. There are a number of scenarios. We could get to the point where the testing is not available or the turnaround time is not satisfactory. And our doctors and scientists could say what you're doing is not going to work going forward, so you need to stop. And if that happens at a time where we can pivot to the spring, I have no problem with that. I just don't think that's the kind of thing you do preemptively.
And I think that's been an interesting wrinkle in all this. And I was talking with Jacob Hesser on his show, Hanging with Hester, down in Baton Rouge, and we sort of like stumbled into this where I was thinking, you know what? I wonder if there's a way, as people have talked about, we've heard, it's not their first, not their first plan or their second plan or their third plan, but that the spring season was on the table. Is this seems to preserve what I think most Division I folks wanted to get out of that possibility, which is you still have a chance to recoup some of the money here, because that's what this is all about for them. And so it's this idea that should things not work this fall, could we have a plan in place enough to where, all right, it gets to a point where it's untenable. We can't do this. There's a breakout like we saw with the Marlins and all this, which is you know nearing the worst case scenario. Can we shut it down, regroup, and have enough of an infrastructure set and enough of a plan in mind to move this thing to the spring and try and recoup some of our losses?
And it still seems to be along the lines of doing this first and that, as Trey said, break glass in case of emergency, not let's not start the season at all and just wait and do everything in the spring. It seems like everything in the world is going to be done, and I get it, to start the season, and then that is kind of the backdrop of that's kind of the safety net, right? If we get a couple of games in and have to stop, if we get half the season in and have to stop, if we barely get anything in and have to stop, we have the safety net of spring to kind of finish up if we want.
Yep, exactly.
But then there's the issue of who would be playing football in the spring, because we just had our first opt-out because of COVID concerns. Caleb Farley, the Virginia Tech cornerback who expects to be a pretty high draft pick, he's had some personal losses in his life that he's dealing with, and he doesn't want to bring a virus back to anybody else in his family. He has opted out of the college football season, no matter when it's played, to prepare for the draft, which would be in the spring. And if you're talking about playing college football in the spring, if you are one of the top players, are you playing at all?
I think it's going to depend. Well, if you're talking about playing in the spring, no. I think there would be a mass exodus if we were talking about that. But, and some people brought up, Nick Bosa is the comparison in this because of what he went through. And I think that would be interesting is now if you're a prospect that is looking at this season and saying, all right, what if I was coming into this with an injury that I had had surgery on in the offseason, coming in with something that had been nagging, where now all of a sudden we're dealing with a different ramp up to college football season. They've been there on campus, but it hasn't looked the same, and certainly the lead up to training camp won't be the same. Hell, our own Chinne Ogwumike, who's dealt with plenty of her own injuries, looked at the WNBA bubble, and part of her decision to not attend was, I've dealt with a knee injury and an Achilles injury, and I don't feel like I can get my body in the right place to go into this. If you're a potential first round pick who's got any sort of injury concern in all this, or that pops up, how quickly are you shutting it down, saying, well, I'm not in an environment that's going to give me my best chance to come out of this hole?
And then just like, and it seems so unfair to say, but we're saying it in baseball, it's the Marlins, and everybody says, what will we be talking about right now if this was the Yankees, or if this was the Dodgers, or if this was Washington that had all this? So while Caleb Farley, the individual, is projected as a back-end first-round draft pick, which is phenomenal, first-round draft pick, and he is just going to go train and get ready for the NFL and the draft. What if we get a player from a top, like, five team, one of their stars that says, you know what, because of the virus, I'm going to opt
Trevor
out.
Trevor Lawrence.
And the effect along those lines, a Justin Fields, a Trevor Lawrence, or, again, the top five, top ten major player or players from that team that are going to say, you know what, we're backing out of this thing.
Yeah, and that's going to be the ripple effect there. And it's so funny, just as you said that, I was thinking how different the reaction will certainly be to something like that. That same thing can hold true on the negative end. Imagine if what happened at Rutgers recently, where you had 15 players test positive, and what might be linked back to a party happened at Clemson, happened at Texas, happened at Notre Dame. The like uproar that would be going on today about the potential devastation for college football season and what to expect would be a lot different. So all of those things are things to keep in mind. But I think you're right. We're going to be waiting for the first one that affects the national championship picture to potentially opt out in this situation. And I think we're still going to have a difficulty to find that because, as we talked about with the NFL guys, your default setting is still to want to play.
Correct. The spring season would certainly be a fresh look. A fresh look is brought to you by Sport Clips. It's a new season at Sport Clips Haircuts. All styles are clean, certified, and guy smart. Coming up, now that Notre Dame has decided to, you know, join a conference for a year, and they're eligible to win the ACC championship, will they? We'll do Book It next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Notre Dame.
All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it.
Let's go.
Let's get this thing cracking.
Let's go.
All right, Junior.
Guys,
tee it up.
Yeah. Go Look and Wingo. Is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. It is Golic and Wingo. It is Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. We're going to play Book It. One last time, guys.
One last time for this show.
Mount up.
I'm going to shove it. Oh, sorry.
Trey,
he
not
just can't
today.
Help himself.
Not today, Trey.
Not today, Trey.
Both.
Not today.
Last
Put
Book
in the
It.
Get behind me, Satan.
God. Jesus, take the wheel. So, I give you a nice spicy little take. If you want to really heat it up, you're going to shout, Book It. We play the sounder. It sounds great. Everyone has a great time. And if you don't, you won't, and we move on. You guys ready?
Ready.
All right. Trey, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Yep.
Notre Dame.
Yep.
Your 2020 ACC champions. You going to book it?
Out of respect for both of you, I will book it.
Wow.
Wow.
I will for you guys.
What does your analyst part say?
No. Clemson.
Listen, I want to book this with my heart more than anything in the world, and I absolutely hope it happens. If I were to sit there and try and be as unbiased as I can, football.
What have you ever been unbiased?
I'm going to say Clemson's the best team in that conference.
See, so this is why I'm picking you up. You're doing the right thing for the team, so I'm backing you up and saying I'm.
That
booking
doesn't
it for
mean
you.
That if when the game's going on, I'm not rooting like hell for Notre Dame. No doubt about that, but. Clemson, you have to give them their due. They're the best team in the conference right now.
Since 2000, only five schools have won the ACC football championship, and 17 have been won by a trio of programs. Florida State leads 7 in that time. Clemson with 6, Virginia Tech 4, Maryland with 1, and Wake Forest with 1 in that time. I'll book it. What the hell? We're riding high in all this.
Book it.
Listen, Justin Ross and T. Higgins are both gone. Justin Ross going to miss a year after a surgery there. Brent Venables is losing maybe the most valuable defensive piece in college football last year in Isaiah Simmons.
Come on.
Let's just get drunk this morning.
Book it.
We're coming into the ACC, kicking down the doors, breaking stuff, throwing tables all over the place, and then
also playing.
Paying them a lot of money in the meantime, too, because we're splitting that NBC deal for the year. Anyway, Dad,
yep.
The Power Fives will make a decision to break away from the NCAA in the next 3 years. You're going to book it?
No shot. Absolutely, positively.
No, sir.
No shot on booking it. Look, listen, the Texas AD, Chris Del Conte, said on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, he wished the Power Five conferences acted as one. They can't. They can't. They can't all get together and act as one. And because we know who will act like the big boys on the block, right? That's Greg Sankey and the SEC. And they're not going to get together and work as one. I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it. Absolutely do not book this one.
I'm booking it. I think
it.
I think for a long time they want to try and find a way to get away from the tentacles.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
And I think they're finally realizing, why do we need this? Like, why? What is it? How does it benefit us? So, yeah, I think they will.
I am not going to book it just because of the 3-year timeline. I think this is coming. I think it will be unavoidable at some point. And I look at this and say, we've already seen some versions of this where there are conferences working together and all this. And I think we've seen every time someone breaks news, we've seen conference commissioners, ADs lamenting the fact that it all wasn't done together. I think a desire is there. And I think in better circumstances, they're going to be able to execute on that. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo. We are playing Book It one last time. Dad?
Yep.
Shohei Ohtani is back. You going to book it?
I want you to Shohei the way.
No. Listen, when you say he's back, we're talking about him as a hitter and a pitcher. Now, he had a home run yesterday. He needs 9 more to become the third Japanese player in baseball history with 50 home runs, joining Hideki Matsui and Ichiro. But if that's hitting, fine. But we're talking about both hitting and pitching. And the pitching we know has been a struggle. So to say he's back to what we think about him, no, he's not.
I'm not going to book it either, because I think it eventually, also, they're going to have to decide. Yep. We had Timmy Kirchner on with us the other day, and he's like, eventually they're going to have to choose what they want him to be, whether they want him to be a hitter or want him
and
to be a
pitcher. And he said the choice, he would rather him be a pitcher.
Pitcher, yeah. So I'm not going to book it.
Man, you guys are a tough crowd. Shohei is back, all right? Knocking dingers is my only metric for are you back or not. It is a simple binary case
in this. It's the Big Al metric.
It is. It doesn't have to be this complicated sliding Texas is back kind of scale in all this one. We were waiting to see a sign of life from Shohei after a tough start to the season. Sign of life secured. That man is back. B-A-C-K, back.
I just spelled it right.
I'm glad I did, too. I was nervous when I hit A. Trey, Zion plays in the opener and scores at least 10 points. You going to book it?
Book it.
You can book it.
I know we're going to have Rachel Nichols on with us later. She said they were going to be very cautious with
him.
Game
time decision.
I think he's going to play, and I think he'll be limited minutes, but I think the new and improved Zion, who looks like a marauding beast with his new body, I think he's going
to
get at least.
Yeah, listen, he said he's ready to play. He said he's ready to play on limited minutes. He said he'd be shocked if any baller said that they weren't ready. So we know he is, but players don't make the decisions a lot of times, though maybe he can have some influence. I absolutely book this. I don't know how much he plays, but I do think he scores at least 10 points and is a force on the court.
I'll book this one, too. It's been, and I mean, he's delivered so effortlessly almost since the beginning and since he stepped on the court. Since he's been a part of that team, the difference in their net rating with him on and off the court is just under 14 points. It is the highest in the league. So I hope he's back. I believe he'll be back. And then it's the charge to see if he can get to the postseason and give us that matchup with LeBron that everyone is looking for. Trey?
Yeah.
Tiger finishes in the top 10 of the PGA Championship next week. You going to book it?
Boy, that's going to be hard for you.
Couple of things here. One, he's had success at Harding Park in the past. He was part of a President's Cup team that won there, and he won a World Golf Championship event there. I don't know, man. He's just played so limited. I can't. I want to book it, but I can't. I can't. I want it with my soul.
No.
I can't book it.
Kind of like I signed with Notre Dame.
Correct.
Listen, I agree. I want it. I want him in contention.
Yeah.
But it is just so hard to look at his situation right now and say he can book that. I can't book it, though I want to.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to book that one either. It is tough right now. We're sitting here, and I feel like I'm always fighting this battle of how to deal with my expectations for Tiger, and maybe cautious optimism is the phrase for 2020 as a whole with all of this. It's what we need to do to guard ourselves in a lot of things, and so it's what I'll do here. All right, last book it forever. Dad, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be your Rookie of the Year in the NFL. Are you going to book it?
Wow. Boy, his odds have dropped in everything, right? Since, again, Damian Williams is opted out, the starting running back for Kansas City. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to get plenty of opportunity. Who are the other guys he's going to be battling here? You know, Joe Burrow is going to step on the field right away.
Yeah.
Of the other quarterbacks, probably no one at least right out of the gate.
Ruggs and Judy, maybe?
Yeah, and a wide receiver. That's a hard tough one. Spot. He's got a good chance. You know what the hell? I'll book it. Why
you
not?
Can book it.
God knows he's going to get. I know there's a lot of talent on that team, but he's going to get himself some touches.
It's a perfect fit.
It really is.
It's literally a perfect fit for what Andy Reid and company want to do, and he has the best player in college football to decide when to. I mean, NFL decide when to give him the ball. So yeah, I'm going to book it.
Did Josh Jacobs win Rookie of the Year last year?
I think he did. Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. Yeah. I want to make sure. Oh, no. Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
And that's why I'm going to book this one, just so I can see Jason Fitz's head explode, knowing that Josh Jacobs didn't win it, but a running back won it the year after that one. Wow. Run and book that.
There you go.
You're just out to hurt Fitzy in any way you can. Coming up next, will Cardiac Kemba return for another tournament run? We'll get to that next as we continue Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Penultimate show.